نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد.
If we very carefully study our life, then we will find that there are certain things which are beyond our control. And there are many things which are in our control. A person is rewarded or punished for doing or not doing those things which is in his control. For things which are beyond his control, he is neither rewarded nor punished. And an intelligent person will be concerned about those things only which is a cause of reward or punishment. And he will not worry too much, or rather he will not worry at all about those things which neither bring reward nor punishment. If we keep this principle in mind, then those of us who are treading the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come out of many misunderstandings and many confusions. Those things which are beyond our control are called ghair ikhtiyari. We have no control over there. And those things which are under our control, in our control, are known as ikhtiyari. Allah Ta'ala has granted us total authority to carry out that particular action or to refrain from that action. This is ikhtiyari. We have total control over that action. And ghair ikhtiyari, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given us any authority, any control whatsoever to either carry out that action or to refrain from that action. Let us take an example. Salat. It is farz, 5 times a day. To perform wudu is in our control. To walk to the masjid is in our control. To participate with jamaat is in our control. And to perform salat with the imam in the masjid is in our control. To say the takbir tahrima is in our control. So performance of salat is in our control. But the concentration in salah is not in our control. If we very carefully study the concentration part of the salah, then we will find that the only thing in our control is to try to keep the concentration, nothing more. We can only try. We can try to keep the concentration from takbir-e-tahrima to salat. We can try only. But without our doing, without our desire, the mind may drift off. We don't want it to drift off, but it does. And we have no control over it. So performing this salat is in our control, and trying to keep concentration throughout this salat is in our control. But to keep the concentration throughout the salat is not in our control. And if keeping the concentration throughout the salat is not in our control, then we will not be questioned for it. Because Allah will only question concerning those matters, those aspects of our life upon which we have full control. If we don't perform wudu, and if we perform salat without wudu, we will be questioned and we will be punished. And if we perform wudu, we will be rewarded. If we don't perform salat with jama'at without valid reason, we will be questioned and we will be punished. And for performing salat with jama'at, we will be rewarded. Because it is something ikhtiyari. It is in our control. So we are doing it with our authority, with our own choice. And if we do not do it, it is again out of our own choice. If we perform salat, we will be rewarded. If we don't perform salat, we will be punished. As far as the concentration is concerned, we are only responsible to try to keep the concentration in salat. Try. If the mind drifts off and it has drifted away without you realizing, sometimes it happens that for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute, 1.5 minutes, the mind has drifted away and you don't realize that you are in salat. You don't realize that you are thinking about something else which you should not be thinking whilst performing salat. So you are trying to keep the concentration, and suddenly the mind drifts away, and when you realize that you are thinking about something you should not be thinking, you bring the concentration back into salat again. And then it may drift away again, because you don't realize and it is beyond your control. And as soon as you realize, using your control, you bring it back again, and this continues throughout the salat. Or it may be that you have drifted away in the first rakat and you return only in at-tahiyyat, in the last rakat, but without realizing. Now the drifting away of the mind is not your doing. You are not doing it purposefully. You are not doing it using the authority or the control that Allah has given you. You are using the control that Allah has given you to keep that concentration. But the mind just drifts away without your doing it, without you having any control over it. So as far as this salat is concerned, it is 100% perfect in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you have not done anything contrary to what you were supposed to do and which was in your control. In fact, in some cases, this type of salat where there is a struggle may bring more reward. Because somebody who is performing salat with total concentration right from the beginning till end, he has been bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this blessing. If Allah grants somebody this blessing, then he should be grateful to Allah, because it is a blessing. So on his part, there is no sacrifice, there is no effort. Compared to the other person, whose mind continues to drift away and he is trying to keep that concentration. So there is a struggle throughout the salat. So for this struggle, the reward that the second person will get, the first person will not get. Similar is the case with zikr. remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person wrote to Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, and he stated that when I am doing dhikr, I find it very difficult to keep my concentration with my dhikr. I start and the mind drifts away, I bring it back, it drifts away, I bring it back, it drifts away. So Hakim al-Ummat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, in reply to this letter, wrote, Mubarak. Mubarak, congratulations. May Allah grant you blessings. For you are getting two rewards. One reward for remembering Allah, the second reward for mujahada. Because your concentration is not there, and you are striving against your nafs to bring that concentration back. This is the second ibadah. So if we keep this principle in mind, that something which is in our control, we will be rewarded for it or we will be punished for it. And something which is not in our control, we will neither be rewarded for it, nor we will be punished. Then many confusions will be removed, inshallah, and many misunderstandings will be removed. Let us take another example. Many people, after having committed sins in early part of their lives, after repenting sincerely, are disturbed by flashbacks of what has happened in the past. As soon as a person becomes a salik, as soon as he begins to tread the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins to take lessons from his shaykh and he tries to understand the purpose of life in depth, and he moves towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nearness, then the flashbacks will increase as soon as he begins to tread this path. Because now shaitan wants to disturb him, shaitan wants to stop his progress. Alcohol, clubbing, fornication, films, television, cinema, video. He has repented from all these things. Before repenting, whatever he was doing out of his own authority, with his own will. He had total control over committing fornication or abstaining from fornication. And anything that a person does, when he is fully in control, Allah will reward him if it is something good, Allah will punish him if it is something evil. So before repenting, whatever evil he was committing these evils through his own authority. He had all the control over whatever he was doing. So he will be punished. After committing these evils, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also granted him the authority to repent or continue with that lifestyle. He has a choice between the two. He uses his authority and he repents. Now that he has repented, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him. And Allah will forgive all his past sins. Now he abstains from fornication, abstains from adultery, abstains from watching films, abstains from any disobedience that he was committing before. But the flashbacks are disturbing him. Now the flashbacks of these disobediences are not in his control. It is not in his control. He hates these flashbacks. It disturbs him. It creates anxiety in him. And it makes him worry. Why am I getting these flashbacks? Why am I getting these flashbacks? He goes to his Shaykh. He complains to his Shaykh. He writes to his Shaykh. He is making dua to Allah that, oh Allah, remove these flashbacks. Remove these flashbacks. But if he very carefully ponders over the whole situation, he has no control over these flashbacks. These flashbacks may come when he is reading the Quran. They may come when he is performing the Salah, and normally that is what happens. The more good he will do, the more the flashbacks will come of the evil. And this is all from Shaitan. Because you are not performing Salat, no problem. You are not doing Zikr, no problem. You are not reciting the Quran, no problem. As soon as you begin Ibadat, the flashbacks are bothering you. So why perform Salat? Why recite Quran? Because Shaitan knows that if he continues with this Ibadat, very soon he is going to become the friend and wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one way of distracting his attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these types of people need not worry about these flashbacks. Because something which is beyond our control, we will neither be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor will we be punished, nor is it harmful or deen or iman. Yes, flashbacks may be detrimental from one aspect. And that is, flashbacks may attract this person to commit those very evil things again. So therefore one should try to beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah save me, oh Allah save me. But the flashbacks themselves are not detrimental in any way. They are not sins only because they are evil thoughts. But if another person, after repenting, was to sit down and try and bring these evil thoughts. Now he is doing this out of control, his own authority. He had some relationship, illicit relationship with a lady, and after repenting he sits and he thinks about that relationship, he thinks about that lady and he wants to enjoy. By thinking about what happened in the past, because he is doing this out of his own will and own desire, and it is his own doing, whatever he is doing is in his control, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question him and also punish him. So in today's majlis, this is the principle of tasawwuf that I wanted to teach you. Anything which is not in your control, and it happens to you, if it is something evil or something bad according to your thoughts, you should not worry about it. Because Allah is not going to question you for this. And if something happens to you which is very good and very nice, but it is beyond your control, again, it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these types of things make ibadat more easier for you. But there is nothing to be too much happy about, because it does not bring extra reward. We have two people performing 4 rakat salat of Dhuhr salat. One right from the beginning until the end finds enjoyment in his salat, total concentration. On the other side, a person is trying to put as much concentration as possible, but despite all his efforts, his mind is drifting away, coming back, drifting away, coming back, drifting away, coming back, drifting away, coming back. As far as their position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, they are both equal. because they have both performed exactly the same thing, and they have performed those actions which was in their control. Now, as far as the concentration is concerned, Allah had given him something which was not in his control, and Allah had deprived him of something which was not in his control. And Allah does not reward or punish for something that is beyond our control. If you keep this in mind, then inshallah, treading the path of suluk towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become very easy. Because shaitan, by bringing these thoughts, that my salat is not up to that standard yet, my zikr is not up to that standard yet. Because shaitan knows that if he continues with this salat, if he continues with this zikr, if he continues with this tilawat, he is going to excel. And he doesn't want us to excel. So he makes our minds drift away, he enters so many evil thoughts in our minds when we are reciting the Quran, when we are performing the salat. And then he makes us think that what is the point of this salat? You've been doing zikr for 6 months and no change yet. Don't worry, you just carry on. My late Haji Farooq Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, my late Sheikh, mentor Haji Farooq Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayhi, hum Allah ke bande hain, ji ke bande nahin. We are the servants of Allah. We are not the servants of our desires. So because our nafs desires a particular type of salat, if I get that type of salat, then I will continue, otherwise no. We have become the slaves of our nafs. But whatever the condition of my salat, I will perform my salat because my Creator has commanded me to do so. And if we continue, then we are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that all the salik, salik is the person who has begun treading the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who has begun worrying about his self-rectification in zikr, in tilawat, in our ma'amulat, in our salat, in our majlis, whether the concentration is there or not. We need to just carry on pushing ourselves and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that concentration. Yes, if we bring evil thoughts ourselves, if we entertain evil thoughts ourselves, if the evil thought comes and we enter after realizing in salat that I am thinking about politics whereas I am in salat, and thereafter we continue with those thoughts, now because we are doing this out of our own authority, we will be questioned. So keep this principle in mind. And those of you who have evil thoughts entering their minds, because majority of the people in the initial stages after becoming bad, when they start this path, this is the main problem everybody has. Flashbacks, evil thoughts. The thought to watch television, the thought to watch film, the thought to commit adultery, fornication, even though that has never happened before in our life. The thought to look at non-mahram ladies, the thought to watch pornography, all these thoughts are coming. These thoughts are not your thoughts. A person is never disturbed by his thoughts. A person always enjoys his thoughts. If a thought disturbs you and if it creates anxiety, and if it makes you think, why am I getting these thoughts? Why am I getting these thoughts? That means these are not your thoughts. If they were your thoughts, you would have loved your thoughts. A person never dislikes his own thoughts. So if you are disturbed by these evil thoughts, you don't have to worry about it. They are thoughts being entered in your mind by shaitan. And because you are disliking these thoughts, it is a kind of mujahada, it is a kind of sabr that you are going through. It is like somebody having a very severe headache and he doesn't like that headache. But he is patient that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will practice patience. Allah rewards him. Similarly, he doesn't like all these thoughts coming in his mind, but they are coming. And he is trying to just remove those thoughts. And he is disturbed by these thoughts. This sabr that he is going through, Allah will reward him for this sabr. I hope that this particular aspect has been clarified today, inshallah. So those of us who are experiencing anything supernatural in our salat for 1 week or for 1 month or for 1 day, and at that time we feel very nice. It is a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you get concentration in your salat, when you enjoy your salat, then it becomes more easier to fulfill that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is beyond your control. It is something which is God gifted, Allah gifted. So that doesn't excel your position. So at that time you should not begin to feel that, yes, I have reached the status of vilayat. And similarly, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away and deprives a person of this concentration, of this enjoyment, spiritual enjoyment, then he should not feel that I am at my lowest ebb of relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. As long as you are fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all spheres of your life, you are the beloved of Allah and you are the wali and friend of Allah. And you have so much concentration, but if you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you cannot be the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just one episode before we conclude. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi was sitting with another sheikh, not from our silsila, from another silsila, slightly towards bid'at and innovation. He came to visit Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and they sat, talked as well, remained quiet as well, the majlis continued. And after a while, the muazzin called for the Asr Salat. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Rahmatullahi Alayhi, upon hearing the azan of the muazzin, immediately got up from his place, he performed wudu, he went to the masjid, he performed salat. When he returned after Asr Salat, he saw that the other buzurg and the other sheikh was still sat in his place, and he was in some kind of muraqabah or meditation. After he came out of that trance that he was in, Hazrat said, I did not see you in the masjid for salah. So he said, just before the azan, I experienced a state of ecstasy, spiritual ecstasy. And it was so nice that I did not want that phase to break. So what I did was, I performed my Asr Salat here. And that spiritual ecstasy, that feeling continued until just a few seconds ago. And he said, the Asr Salat that I have performed today, the enjoyment I found in that Asr Salat, in my whole life I have never found the same enjoyment in my Salat. So what did Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi say? This is a muhakkik sheikh, a professional sheikh. Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi said that one salat without any concentration in the masjid with jama'at, according to the commands of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is better than 100,000 salat full of spiritual ecstasy. You are performing salat with spiritual ecstasy and not in accordance with the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the point of that salat? So he said, one salat performed in the masjid with jama'at, according to the way shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in accordance with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is better than 100,000 salat performed with full spiritual ecstasy, but which is not in conformity with the salat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have performed your salat without jama'at, which is against the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your salat bears no value compared to that salat which is performed with the jama'at, because this person has carried out everything that was in his control, and here he has been granted something which was not in his control, which does not bring reward, which does not bring punishment, and he has forsaken those actions which were in his control and which he was supposed to carry out. Go to the masjid and perform salat with jama'at. So let us carry on with our a'mal. Whatever the feelings, we will not pay attention. And the evil feelings that we have, do not pay too much attention to it. Just brush it aside and continue with your amal. Continue with your zikr, continue with your tilawat. Inshallah, when shaitan will get fed up and when he will believe that I am not going to be able to distract this person, he will just move away from you. And suddenly all the wasawis and all the evil thoughts will go away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.